Well, I'll tell you, the email's pouring in, the text messages pouring in over this. Question for Donald Trump regarding Social Security. Currently, if one has a combined retirement income, okay. This is about as explicit as I could possibly get. We'll see about that one. Let's take some more calls. We have Dan is in Palm Beach Gardens. Dan, your question.
Hey, dear lady. God bless you.
Thank you.
I wanted to say, number one, I have a really great proposal, but first I want to let you know that the acronym for the Tea Party, because I'm very active in the Tea Party and have been for since its inception, even before that, TEA doesn't stand for Tax Enough Already anymore, even though it does. It stands for Trump Embolding Americans.
Ooh, I like it. Trump Embolding Americans.
That works for me. And I want you to know that I put this morning at about 6:30, I put on the Facebook that for everybody around the country to listen to 8:50 a.m. at 1:06 this afternoon to hear wisdom from you and from Donald Trump.
Thank you.
My proposal is to have you and maybe Michael Savage and someone have Donald Trump sponsor a debate where you and Michael Savage and maybe someone else, maybe Laura Ingraham, could be the moderators and really get to the substance. I believe that if we don't stop the invasion of illegal aliens and get control of our borders, that all the other issues that we may have passion for will not matter very much.
I agree.
So, can I say one more thing?
Go right ahead.
The night of Super Tuesday, a handful of us were down at Mar-a-Lago, and when the entourage came by, after President Trump did a low flyover over Mar-a-Lago and went back around, about 20 minutes later, the entourage came down Southern Boulevard, and I was the guy out there with my Gadsden flag and my Trump sign, and I screamed at every suburban, not knowing which one he was in, President Trump, so he knows the Tea Party's behind him.
Yeah, he does. They actually did endorse him. Thanks so much, Dan, for your passion. I appreciate it, and you'll love the intro to the segment where President Trump is going to be interviewed. Let's go to Ron in Boca. You're on 850 WFTO. What's your question, Ron?
Hey, Joyce. Thanks for taking my call. Mine is just a simple question, which affects everyone in Florida. It's the Cuban Adjustment Act. Everyone agreed that we have an immigration problem, but no one's mentioned about the Cuban Adjustment Act, which benefits Cubans, obviously. And I would like to know his position and Ted's position. And since Ted and Marco are both Cuban, with Cuban backgrounds, they don't mention it at all. And I think he could use that to his advantage, and I wanted to know what you think about that, if you ask him.
It's an interesting question. I mean, it's been so long since we've had a wet foot, dry foot policy in this country and considered any Cuban refugee who makes it to the shore eligible for, asylum. Is it necessary, if we've opened up relations with Cuba, to still have that policy? Have we not said now that Cuba is a viable nation in the League of Nations, however you want to frame that, who should be accepted into the United Nations and should be there, or I guess is, and therefore should be treated the same way? If they're economic refugees, they're not entitled to asylum. If they're, not refugees based on a government that would harm them, were they to speak out, well, then, then somebody's lying. Either President Obama's lying or somebody else is. I appreciate your interest in that subject. But it's true. I mean, how many Cuban Adjustment Acts have been questioned? As we change our relationship with Cuba, should we not change our policy? So we'll see. We'll see if I will probably pose that question if I have time. Shelley in Boca, you're on 850 WFTL. You got to hang up your phone, Shelley. Okay, he has a little trouble following through. Okay, let's try. Is it Patty in Weston? You're on 850. What's on your mind?
Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
I hope that you're going to talk to Donald about when he gets in these debates to stop quoting polls. It's getting so tiresome for his supporters, and he's not going to gain these ones sitting on the fence by just trying to be right. That's first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I'd like to talk about terrorists and how patient the terrorists are in the world. And they're sitting back right now. They wouldn't dare touch us right now because they saw what happened in San Bernardino. And Trump's popularity goes up through the roof They're going to sit and wait because the last thing they want is Trump in office. They would love to have a Hillary or the other old geezer because then they could have free reign with us because our military is so dilapidated.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think any of the Republican candidates talk about building up the military, and I would feel safer with any of those. Well, maybe not Rubio, but anybody else.
I agree.
You know.
Well, Joyce, thanks so much, too, for talking about Rubio. What a worm he is.
Yeah.
For all of us out there, I've been a lifelong independent, and I just signed up as a Republican for Trump, and he is our last hope. I mean, I've gotten so depressed listening and really plugging in for the first time in my life to what's really happening in this country.
Yeah.
And it's so scary. It's so scary that the way they're piling on Donald Trump, the Republican Party, is a disgrace, first of all. And I just hope this guy can keep it together because he looks awful when he starts letting them get under his skin.
Right, right.
Just need to stick to the point. And he will get these people sitting on the fence. When he didn't go to CPAC, he lost out. When he missed that first debate, because of Megyn Kelly, look what happened to him.
His poll numbers went up.
Strong and stay on.
Yeah, no, his poll numbers go up. He hasn't made any real errors. I think not going to CPAC. I don't go to CPAC. It's a waste of time. CPAC was promoting Ted Cruz, or they always have a candidate that they're promoting, and everybody else looks silly. And yeah, whether it's Rubio or Cruz, these mainstream guys are what the CPAC establishment wants. So there was no benefit for Donald Trump to go to CPAC. Donald Trump gets enough coverage without needing to go to CPAC, and that's the point that kills these guys is that he generates this kind of interest, and they've been it's been so long since they've had any real interest in anybody they've run for president. But I appreciate your concern, Patty. Thank you so much. And you brought up an excellent point. I have with me today, as she moves the microphone over and gets out of the range of the cameras, well, that happens. I'm not a TV personality. I'm a radio personality. So I will show you here, as long as I do have it on something. What are we on? Periscope, TV, podcast, whatever this stuff is. It's all these cameras in here. Soon to be the news. For the first time, I have in my hands a voter's registration card that arrived yesterday. And it says my name, my address, my date of birth. And right next to that, there's three letters, REP. This little card will allow me to vote in the Republican primary either before Tuesday or on Tuesday. I haven't decided. I still can't believe I have it, but I do. It's now in my hand. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. So what ended up printing was a list of what emails I have in my box, but not the individual emails. I can't figure out how to do this stuff. I'm so bad with this computer. You're going to have to keep hearing those ping, ping, ping sounds. I have no alternative.
I turned you off. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that because I would like to be able to read these. As a matter of fact, coming up at 1:30 after the Donald's interview, I'll be talking with Congressman Louie Gohmert. Apparently, President Obama is going to use the United Nations to divide Jerusalem in the final days of his presidency. I was going to say pregnancy. You guys have to forgive me if I'm a little, what's the word? Verklempt would be the Jewish word today. But my daughter-in-law is in the delivery room right now. And I'm trying to do a radio program while monitoring her progress. Since I am expecting my granddaughter to be born any minute now. I thought it would actually be kind of good that she was born on March 8th, 2016, the day that that I got to advise the future president of the United States, since she's going to be named after a president. In any case, it seemed like just it all sort of tied together.
I thought you were going to say because it was Free Pancake Day.
Is it also Free Pancake
Yes,
Day?
Yes, which I didn't get any free pancakes. Oh. I'm still upset about.
What's that, from IHOP?
Yes.
All right, well, listen, we put the word out there. Anybody who's going near an IHOP, tell them we need free pancakes. So we're not allowed to take free pancakes, are we? Never stopped us before. 877-850-8585. Richard in Montreal has a question. Are you in Montreal or you are
yes,
from?
Yes, I'm in Montreal.
Oh, well, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Richard?
Yes, I'm just wondering why no Republican candidate has brought up Phil Haney's story. Now, he's been on Fox News, but other liberal media, like CNN, refuses to talk about his story. This is a federal agent.
Oh, I know who he is, and they shut him down after he had a very thriving counterterrorism program going on.
Exactly, but 99% of the American people don't even know his story. If they heard his story, I don't think Hillary Clinton has a chance of getting elected because.
Well, I think if they listen to
shut down a department that
right, but I think if they listen to
this and no one knows about it.
Well, I think if they listen to talk radio, they do know that this is a guy who identified jihadists that were here in the United States. He got fired because, of course, CARE and all those other Muslim Brotherhood affiliated groups thought he was a bigot. But I will ask that question of Trump if he knows who Phil Haney is, and if he doesn't, that he should find out. All right.
Well, that's fantastic. If you do that, you should be his vice president.
Well, there you go. Or at least one of his foreign policy advisors. I thank you for your call. Oh. That's a legitimate good question, by the way. Phil Haney. Well, he can use that against Hillary Clinton big time. That's for sure. Let's go to Ariel in Miami. Is it Ariel or Ariel?
Hey, Joyce, how's it going?
Good. It's good. How is it going?
All right. I haven't talked to you in a few years. Last time I spoke to you, which I admire you, and you gained an admirer because you called the Heat heroes. Remember, I called you out on it, telling you that those were not heroes, that our troops were the heroes.
You're right. And you were right, and I was wrong that time.
So, and I admire you for that because you admitted you were wrong, and I will definitely admire you for that, and I'll follow you every time I get a chance.
Well, thank you. So what do you want me to ask President Trump?
I don't have a question per se. I have a suggestion. I believe that he needs to go after Rubio a little bit more with facts, not just the name calling. Because I mean, I support Trump, but sometimes when he opens his mouth, I kind of like, oh, geez, come on, man, say something else.
You cringe.
He needs to stick to the facts and say how Marco Rubio conned the Florida voters when he said he was going to go to the Senate and fight for the Florida vote. And he chose not to go and vote, which, by the way, I went to high school with Michael Rubio. I played flag football with Michael Rubio recently in the past few years, and I remember asking him that question. I was like, dude, I mean, are you ever up there? You always here playing around. And, you know,
yeah.
Essentially, he dodged the question.
Of course he did.
Anyway, I just wanted to...
You want him to go. Believe me. That's my whole purpose for today's interview is I want to give him a little insight in how to beat Marco Rubio in his state. I appreciate your call. Thanks, Ariel.
Thank
a pleasure hearing from you. No, that's foremost on my mind is this concerted effort by the Republican Party to steal the nomination or to steal the delegates from Donald Trump, no matter how they do it, whether it's fracturing the vote by getting Kasich here and Rubio here and Ted Cruz there, none of which is good for this country. Deciding who and how a campaign is going to be run should be in the hands of individuals who have a desire to serve their country. I'm sick and tired of being told that I'm not smart enough to pick a candidate without them telling me, without Mitt Romney doing robocalls directing me as to who the best candidate is. Listen, if I thought Mitt Romney was any expert in the best candidate, he certainly dissuaded me from that position when he lost an election against a second-term president who had failed miserably, and yet he couldn't win that election. Keep your advice to yourself, Mitt. Oh, my goodness. I kept my dear, darling friend, Representative Louie Gohmert from Texas, the very first district in Texas, as a matter of fact. He's number one. Louie, I'm sorry you had to wait there, but I had an interview with the Donald that ran a little bit late, but he always runs a little bit late, you know, just like this president.
Hey, I wasn't going to be the first man to ever stand you up.
Oh, you really have been listening. Let me get up. One of the things that flips me out the most about President Obama, and you've had to work under this administration. Mm-hmm. I can't even know how that must feel, how frustrating it must be. Yeah. But now he is in these waning days of the presidency. He's going for broke with every destructive agenda that any progressive has ever come up with. Jerusalem divided now?
Well, it's something that he's been wanting to do. He's been saying He wanted to divide up Israel. He's been saying he wanted to divide up Jerusalem, and now he sees the end of the second term coming. So, yeah, he's going for broke. He's never been able to stand Israel. He's never been able to get along with people who actually stood for Israel. Now, he gets along fine with the Israel haters, but, you know, and there, it breaks my heart, but there are some children of Israel who just apparently seem to be self-loathing when it comes to Israel. But so, yeah, those folks he gets along with fine. But Joyce, he has done damage to Israel over and over. And I tell you, you remember May of 2010, this administration, first time I'm ever aware of, the United States sided with all of Israel's enemies in demanding that Israel disclose all their weapons, including any potential nukes. And I was blown away. You never do that. You know, and of course, I thought about Hezekiah when Isaiah went and asked, what have you done with these Babylonian leaders? He said, I showed them all our treasures. And then in the best translations of the Hebrew, and he said, and I showed them all of the defenses in our armory. And Isaiah said, basically, because you've done this, you fool, you're going to lose the country.
Exactly.
You never show all of your defenses to anybody. And so for America to side with Israel's enemies was just over the top. And I have never heard anybody else notice that within 48 hours, the flotilla launched to go challenge the Gaza blockade. It was a lawful blockade to keep rockets out of, or try to keep rockets out of Gaza. But did you notice that? I mean, it's right within, as soon as we turned on Israel, the flotilla launched. Historically, when any nation's enemy sees that nation's best friend pulling away, it's provocative. So that's when I thought, you know what? We need to do something to show the world that both parties in Congress stand with Israel. And that's when I had the idea of, you know what? We could do that, a visual image, if we had Netanyahu come speak as prime minister and both sides of the aisle were standing and applauding.
Right.
So I tried to get Speaker Pelosi to invite him. She said we didn't have time. Heck, it's June of 2010. We just got so much to do before the end of the year. But then when we took the majority in January, it's one of the few things that I've really pushed Boehner to do that he did, and he invited Netanyahu, and it was the best speech I've heard since I've been in Congress. But this administration has been pushing Israel against its best interests ever since he's been there.
Well, you know, I look at this news today that did he deny Prime Minister Netanyahu an appointment with him, refuse to schedule a meeting, or didn't he? Haven't we been down this exact same road before?
It doesn't matter whether he did or didn't this time. We know what he's done in the past when he treated him like a second grader and said, here, you sit here and you think about what I've told you, and I'm going to go have dinner. And when you come around to doing what I told you to do, you let me know and I'll meet with you then. Well, Netanyahu didn't hang around for that. He went ahead and went back to the Israeli embassy there in Washington, but that stuff's been going on since this president has been there. But they have snubbed Israel. I mean, the biggest, worst snub in the world is to provide $100 billion, $150 billion, make that available to the leading enemy of Israel, which also happens to be the leading enemy of the United States, and basically assure they're going to have nukes. I mean, that was the biggest blow to both the future of Israel and the future of the United States. But that's this guy's hard. You know, Obama has been out to undermine Israel at every turn.
Yeah. Well, and listen, what scares me the most is now he's talking about using a Security Council resolution to get these, you know, to force concessions from Israel. You know, we've always vetoed those in the past, even though yep. Obama uses them as a threat. If he does that, it's binding on all those parties, right? It's not like a General Assembly measure.
Yeah, and that's when we would need to have a major move. And I think you would have all Republicans, or at least nearly all of the Republicans, hopefully all, would be saying it's time to get out of the UN and not be bound by UN resolutions. We could not abide that kind of thing. It's bad enough that the UN passes resolution after resolution condemning the only true democracy there, and our best friend. That's bad enough. But then when you compound it by making countries like Libya, putting them, when Gaddafi was there, putting them in charge of the Human Rights Commission. I mean, it is a disaster, and it's time we either... Oh, and they're not just anti-Israel, they're anti-United States. And I was talking to a guy recently in Washington that had spent a lot of time working in New York with the UN, and he said, if you look, virtually everything has an anti-American or anti-Israeli sentiment to what the UN does.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm just surprised it's taken Obama this long to use that as a threat, because he's been wanting to do something to divide Israel for a very long time.
And then you have that Samantha Powers in there, Samantha Powerless, is what I like to call her. I mean, just, has signed on to some of the worst stuff, has verbally assaulted all of our allies and basically applauded all of our enemies. And it's gotten to the point now where I don't know if we can last another 8 months. We've squandered all of our moral authority.
We really have. But if you look at the Iran deal itself, I mean, from the 60s song, everyone knows it's Wendy. You had the same Wendy that helped North Korea get nuclear weapons by, we basically, in a nutshell, she was part of the deal that said, hey, North Korea, this is under Clinton, we'll give you everything you need to make nuclear weapons if you will sign an agreement saying you won't use them for nuclear weapons. And they were, really? You'll take my signature and give us everything? Yeah, right. So we give them everything they need. They develop nukes, and who was shocked except Wendy and those? But she was the leading negotiator with Iran, that same person. So they've been doing major damage. And, there's so much I like about Donald Trump, and he is exactly right when he said we're becoming a third world country. And I've pointed that out to witnesses we've had testify before us. They'd say, I'd ask, why are people coming illegally in this country? Well, because there's more opportunity here. No, but why are they leaving their country? Well, it's they don't have the opportunity. Yes, and why don't they have the opportunity where they're coming from? Well, it's, there's graft and corruption.
Yeah.
Exactly. They don't follow the rule of law. Therefore, their countries are not vibrant economies. So they come to our country and then demand that we become like their country by refusing to follow the rule of law. And that's what it comes down to. And that's why he's so right when Trump says we're becoming a third world country.
Yeah.
And he's exactly right when he says we need lower taxes. He talked about China manipulates currency. That's the big thing. It is a big thing, but another thing they do over us, and it goes back to the point about lowering taxes, there were some of us that went from Congress over to have meetings in China. We met with a lot of CEOs wanting to know, why did you move your big production over to China? And I thought it would be cheaper labor, this and that. The other, over and over again, it was because the taxes are so much lower here, and they would even work a deal with some of the bigger ones. No taxes for 5 years, then you build up to 17%. But how can we compete when we are putting, a massive over a third tax, which is actually a tariff on our own goods for everything that's produced in America? We need to get rid of that, and I think it gets us more competitive. And he also said political hacks are negotiating over trade deals. He is exactly right. And I was shocked to talk with one of our trade negotiators some years back since I've been in Congress. And I said, this is a bad deal. And he said, Lou, you got to understand, the philosophy for both Republican and Democratic administrations has basically been, since we're the greatest economy in the world, if we negotiate a trade deal that's actually better for another country, in the end, it works out better for us because we're the biggest economy. I'm going,
No, it
doesn't. That doesn't make sense.
A bad deal now is a bad deal later.
Of course.
You don't do those kind of deals.
But
on Israel, it concerns me when he talks about, you know, he can be neutral and negotiate. Because on the one hand, you have Palestinians that are teaching their children to hate Israelis and kill Israelis. And on the other hand, you have Israelis that just want to live in peace. So what is split in the middle and compromising? You get to kill half the Israelis? I mean,
it's so important
that we recognize who is truly in the moral right there and who is not.
I agree, and I'm working on it. Give me a little chance. You know, there's so many issues. One last question. As one of the most sincere, honest people that I know serving in the United States Congress, if not the most, how do you feel about this effort by forces in the establishment who you run up against all the time to steal the nomination if they have to with a brokered convention and to send Mitt Romney out there to do this kind of dirty work? Isn't this kind of disgusting?
It absolutely is. And I keep hearing, well, Rubio's got to stay in, not just till Florida, when it doesn't sound like he's going to win, but he's got to stay in till the convention, and that way they can hand it to him. Joyce, I can't imagine if you jumped over the top two candidates and handed it to the distant third place candidate in a brokered convention.
There'll be a revolution.
You'd have more people staying at home. Even if there wasn't a revolution, you'd have more
that is
people
a revolution.
Stay home than the millions and millions that stayed at home when Romney got the nomination.
Exactly.
I just can't imagine people being that insensitive to the feeling of the American people.
Exactly.
Even at this point, for heaven's sake, that'd be horrible.
Yeah, talking down, telling us we don't know what we're doing. Representative Louis Gohmert from East Texas, always an honor and a privilege talking to you, sir.
Well, always great to talk to you, Joyce.
Take care of yourself. All right. We got to take a break because my producer is psycho right now. Welcome back. First of all, I want to pay tribute to the real brains of the Joyce Kaufman Show. Not you, Hobo. Karen. Casey. She is the most dogged, persistent producer I have ever worked with in my life. It doesn't matter how many times she has to call, she will complete the quest. So thank you for getting the Donald on today. Thank you for always getting me as many of the top guests that anybody in a local market like this has ever gotten.
You are so welcome, because you do such a good job with it. Once I get it for you, it's such a delight to hear the interview. You were telling Donald what to do, and people were texting me, this is amazing. She's telling the future president. I mean, it's awesome. Yeah, I was in touch with Hope Hicks. That's his main PR person. And
she's brilliant.
She
too, by
is
the way.
Fantastic.
Because think about
they
this.
Love you,
campaign,
though. They love you.
And this campaign's not spending money.
No.
I mean, there's like millions of dollars being poured into negative Trump ads. He's running one anti-Rubio ad, and it's a pretty good ad, but you know, you're going to sit in front of your TV as I did last night, and it's nothing but anti-Trump ads from everybody, every PAC, every candidate.
But like I told you, go as long with him as possible. He would have stayed on the phone with you longer.
Oh, I know.
He loves you.
He'll come into the studio just as soon as he wraps up Florida. He'll come in to thank us.
Yes.
And as for the rest of you, I appreciate you know, all of the retweets and everything that went on today, but you need to know, as wonderful as that interview was, any minute now I'm going to find out when my granddaughter has entered into the world.
Congratulations.
And that takes a lot, you know, that's a lot more important to me than an interview with the future president.
Little Nixon.
She's on her way. So thank you for your time this time. Until next time, I'll be back tomorrow at noon. We're leaving now early because there's an FSU basketball game. Stay tuned if you're an FSU fan and cheer for your team. I will be back tomorrow at noon if it be his will and he delays his coming. Once again, thank you, Hobo. I put him through a lot today. A special thank you to KC. Karen is an amazing producer. And most of all, thank you for listening. God bless you. And go Trump 2016. But listen to me, Donald. I only want to help you.